Hey there, Barn.
Hey, Andy.
What you got there?
It's one of those newfangled iPod things.
Golly, I ain't seen those before.
Yeah, Gomer. You can also play music and movies. No more driving Thelma Lou up to Mount Pilot. You can also view pictures and listen to things called podcasts.
Pa, what's a podcast?
Oh, yeah. You see, Opie, it's like a radio show, but you get it on your computer.
Oh, Andy, I think Opie might be too young for such things.
Oh, be, let the boy be. Oh, be.
I just download some podcasts to try out. Let's see, In the Trenches, Career Opportunities, Tech News Radio, Digital Experience, Typical Mac User, Typical PC User. Let's try this one. Technorama.
Oh, Barney, I don't think that's such a good idea.
Oh, let her rap. Shut up, Otis.
Welcome to Technorama. This is show number 8087. What is this, a coprocessor? For February 27, 2006. Happens to be my mother's birthday. This is the show that gets you from port A to port B in the quickest route. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man who is waiting for his big break in the U.S., but until then, he's huge in Europe. It's my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to follow those steps of the Beatles.
They went the other way, didn't they?
Yes, more. No, they started in Liverpool and came here.
Yeah?
Something like that.
Okay.
Anyway.
We've got a lot to cover tonight. And what do we have? Pictures, sounds, places, things to eat.
Yeah.
We really have a whole lot of mishmash tonight, but that's Technorama. You never know what you're going to get.
That's right.
Any final words before we jump into On This Day in Tech History?
Yes, I want to say that a big shout-out to Don Knotts. He passed away Friday. And Darren McGavin, who passed away Saturday. You know, Christmas Story, the dad.
We dedicate this show to them. All right.
Yep.
We'll be right back. On This Day in Tech History for February 27th, 2006. This is February 27th, it's the 58th day of the year, in the Gregorian calendar, of course. There are 307 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1879, the announcement of the discovery of the artificial sweetener saccharin is made. While trying to circumnavigate the world in a hot air balloon, Colin Prescott and Andy Elson set a new endurance record after being in a hot air balloon for 233 hours and 55 minutes on this day in 1999. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1891 to the Russian-born broadcasting pioneer David Sarnoff. And the Russian-born scientist Yuli Borisovich Karatan was born on this date in 1904. And the American aircraft engineer Kelly Johnson, the man behind the U-2, the SR-71, the C-130 Hercules, the P-38 Lightning, and more than a dozen other aircraft, was born on this date in 1910. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for February 27th, 2006.
I'm Patrick Norton from DL.TV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Bingo. A little bit of listener feedback. We've got Lance Heath from the Digital Experience Podcast. He's one of our friends in tech over at friendsintech.com. Lance. He got on the license plate thing, the discussion from a couple weeks ago. He's catching up on his Technorama. He has the license plate for California DGTL space EXP. He's the digital man from the Digital Experience Podcast, and his license plate reflects it as much as he does. I also wanted to let you know that I found a man in Florida, a listener, who's got the Florida podcast license plate to go with my Wisconsin.
I better hurry up and get the South Carolina one.
You better hurry. And he sent me his picture. Evo Terra sent me the Arizona one, and I'm waiting for Rob Walsh to send me Missouri. If anybody else knows any podcast license plates out there, we will put them in a little mini gallery. I'm going to start it as soon as I get that fourth one. I wasn't going to do it with three. There just wasn't a whole heck of a lot there. Before we get into the news, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Hey! Hey, over there! Oh, I'm back.
Craig, we're reaching out to you! Now, the trick is, who's going to play it forward? That means the listener is great, and so is the feedback. No fooling, Jack!
That's cute, Chuck. Really cute. I like that, I think.
There's no I in team.
There's an I in apple. It's an extension of IRC.
That's a good geek way to put it. I like that.
Technorama presents Real Geeks of Genius.
Real Geeks of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network System Administrator Guy.
Thanks for helping users do battle with day-to-day forces that delete files or create viruses, and securing our networks to keep the baddies out.
Watch out for that hacker!
What would we do with all of those blue screens?
Control-Alt-Delete!
When most of the people are out taking in a movie or having dinner with others, you're there, climbing under desks and into ceilings, pulling countless cables for routing packets that needed routing and keeping the internet up.
Got to have my porn!
For dealing with office politics when it comes to network policy. The only day you take off is when a Star Wars movie is released.
In a galaxy far, far away!
Today, we toast you with this jolt, Mr. System Network Administrator Guy.
Mr. Network Administrator Guy.
And we all sing along as we go along. Hey, I need to make a major correction. On the last show, I said we were giving away an iPod Nano. We are not giving away an iPod Nano. We are giving away an iTrip Nano from Griffin. I said something about Griffin in there, and I got a little carried away.
And that's coming out of your half of the Technorama funds.
That's all of zero. Yeah. It's a Griffin iTrip for the Nano. So if you've entered under false pretense, please let me know, and I will happily withdraw your entry. Or if you still want to win the iTrip Nano, leave it in there. Your name is secure. You don't have to
put
anything
it on eBay.
The giveaway date for this baby is March 15th. I had to write it down.
On the Technorama calendar.
On the Technorama calendar, the March 15th show. And at this time, I'd like to give a shout out to the chat room. We have a wonderful crowd in there. Not that kind of shout. Good grief.
I don't know, have you met these people?
Some. I've talked to some. We've got Beaker One, Hook Show, Jeep and Dave, Joni in New Hampshire, Yorga all the way from Belgium. What is this, like 20 minutes to 4 a.m.?
He's 5 hours off.
He's seven. He's six or seven from me.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm five. That's right.
You're five.
We talked about this the other day, me and him. We know between yourselves. We don't need to. You don't need to understand that.
Middle of the freaking night. And Kao, who's on the other side, it's middle of the freaking afternoon or evening or something. Mad Marv, who lives right next door to her.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
We're worldwide, man.
I got my whole world in my hands. We got Mark Shepard.
Hey, let Gillen just finish the show.
Scott R., Tim Elliott, and Zaha Doom. And many of them are listening to our live stream. courtesy of Scott R. We are streaming to him, and he is reflecting out to the others. It's low bit rate, but you can hear, and if you want the high quality stuff, well, then you do the normal download, podcast, listen stuff. So if you're around on the right times, jump in the chat room and listen to the stream. It's pretty cool. I will probably be leaving the stream up whenever I can, just to play, you know, other stuff during the day. Actually, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna do that, because the computer that streams this to Scott isn't always up and around.
Hey, that would be a problem.
Give me some of that sweet, sweet news.
After, yeah, the obligatory typewriter. That's all we can afford here at Technorama, as a typewriter.
It's the old Underwood, still going after 80 years.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about was, and I'm sure everybody's probably seen this by now, but the Yahoo exec that says labels should sell their music without DRM. Well, when I read that, my jaw just hit the floor, and I was like, I got to see this. And that's basically what he was saying, that that they should sell it without DRM, which, I couldn't agree more.
That one is, it's a nice turn. Maybe, hate to do a spoiler alert, but if you saw the last BSG, this kind of rings of that, if you know what I mean. Didn't you know what I'm talking about, Craig?
No.
What the Cylons were thinking about... Maybe it's the wrong thing to do.
No, yeah.
Okay, now, yeah. Boom.
Spell it out to me.
We're going to have a little conference here in a sec. Yeah. Will you marry me?
No, I can't do this.
That's my favorite part.
We are happy that we are married now.
No.
It's on the internet now. You're done.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
We'll see about that, Sonny. Hey, thanks to Alex in Ohio. I almost said Dave. Alex in Ohio sent me an email with things you just shouldn't do to your hard drive. We've got a link in the show notes. This is really nasty stuff. I mean, they take a hard drive, and you know what? As bad as this seems, I have heard of a place that can resurrect your data from things like this. I mean, short of drilling hundreds of holes in it, most of what I've seen this person do is recoverable. It's pretty scary.
You know what? That second picture right on that page, it looks like he's got one of those old 3.5-inch drives.
Yeah.
Not the, you know what I'm talking about? It's not a full size, you know what I'm talking about? That's kind of funny. I haven't seen those in a long time.
Yep. It's go take a look and you'll see. I mean, he even takes a diagonal wire cutter and crimps the platter.
Crimps the platter. Holy cow, you're right.
Things you just
they're just taking the platters off. I've done that. You know, actually, that's not as easy as it looks.
Craig, you have something here in the show notes that doesn't have a link on it, the Commodore 64 thing.
Yeah, well, what I was going to talk about is over at Hackaday, this kind of clued me in, that you can, you know, there's Commodore, or actually the more famous ones is like the Activision or the Atari joysticks that has like the Atari 2600 games built into them.
Yeah.
It's like 30-in-1 or something like that. Well, there's a Commodore one, and somehow this totally escaped my vision. I don't know why I haven't seen this, but the Commodore one, you take it open, you can easily crack it open. It's easy to do. And there's several places on the internet, and they have diagrams, and they have pointed exact to solder here, solder here, solder here. And you can attach a keyboard and peripherals and everything and make yourself a working Commodore 64 for like
really?
$20. Yeah, for $20, dude. You buy this joystick and just hook it up. When you turn it on, and once you get the keyboard attached right, I think it's like K. You hold the K button down on the keyboard and
yeah.
It boots right into DOS. Or, I'm sorry, BASIC.
Yeah, whatever that was that you said.
DOS, BASIC, what's the difference? The environment. And I was like, holy crap, that's easy as pie. And then they have other diagrams. People have gone so far as attaching the expansion port. And they had VGA out. One guy even had everything into a little break in a nice little box. And I was like, I'm so going to do that. Well, anyway, that was a previous version of it. Now there's a second version of the same chip that's out. It's like a single chip, and it's in a Radio Shack. It's like a Hummer off-road racing game. It's like a little game with a steering wheel on it. That's only like $20. That's a newer version of this ROM.
Okay.
So And there's some bug fixes along with that. Anyway, you can do the same thing with that.
So, that's pretty cool. I did see that. You just plug it into the TV and start playing. It doesn't require a console or cartridges or anything.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got a, not that kind of game, but we got a game like that for my son. You know, just plug it up. It's the whack-a-mole thing. It's the same idea. You plug it, you know, you just plug it right up with the RCA cables and you got a game. And you crack it open and take the little circuit board out and make yourself a Commodore 64. I was like, it's freaking awesome. So totally going to do that.
I could make like a Commodore 64 in 2 seconds if I wanted.
I don't think you could. Napoleon.
Don't be ridiculous. Nobody can make a Commodore 64 in 2 seconds.
Freaking gosh.
All right, we got another one. I have listener suggestion or a listener contribution. You're screwing with my mind, Craig. This is right. What happens when you mention Mentos, or when you mix.
Would you like me to say this, Chuck?
Mentos and Coke, or Diet Coke, or root beer, or whatever it happens to be, they don't go well together. We've got a clip to a movie.
Or the other title is, blow up a Coke with Mentos.
This thing goes through 2 liters of soda in about 3 seconds flat. I mean, they drop in 13 Mentos, and it volcanoes up. What would you say? That spout is about 15 feet high?
At least. It's like people have it on a table, which is waist high, of course, or so, and that thing just shoots up and hits the lower limbs of this tree.
It's a good video to watch, but I'm not going to be submitting any money to, you know, fund an experiment like that. The kids watched it and went, that's cool, Dad, can we do that? It's like, that's expensive.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, back in, went to a summer camp. We thought it was cool. We get a Coke out of the machine. I don't know what the hell we were thinking. But you know with the old pull tabs that you throw off? You pull and throw out?
Yep.
Well, instead of pulling them off, you just pull it back, bend it over, and it's like a tiny hole. And then you take it and slam it on the ground, and it did like that. And went like a jet shooting to that hole. And I was like, this is cool. And the next thing you know, all my daily allowance money was gone. What, a quarter a pop? Those were expensive back then.
Yeah. Getting back to more on the slant of just weird stuff, Craig, did you submit this, the 3D rooms?
Yeah. I saw this a while back. Maybe somebody else sent it in, but I don't think I put this.
These
in
are
the
cool optical illusions. Their entire rooms are hallways with patterns painted on them, but they don't work until you stand in just the right place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they look great. If you stand in the right place, it looks like this big patch of color just floating in space. But when you get out of the line, it looks like just a bunch of crap all over the room.
I was just thinking about something like that not too long ago. I was trying to remember how I could do that and where it was. It's kind of a distant memory right now, like most other things in my head. But I do remember that.
Well, you know, this kind of reminds me of, and it's in our geek library, but I'll talk about it now. It's the I did a transparent desktop. Did you see my picture, Chuck?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, what I did was, and a lot of people do this, I just finally got around to doing it. I did it at lunch the other day. I happened to have my Nikon with me. I take the monitor, move it out of the way, take a picture. Then I put the monitor back in place and set the picture that I took while it was gone as my background. So, and then I position myself right. Take another picture, and it looks like you were looking right through the LCD screen.
I wouldn't be able to do that because there's all kinds of wires and things that are behind the monitor, and if I move the monitor, they wouldn't be in the right place because they're attached to the monitor.
No, I mean, what cables are you talking about?
I've got a power strip up on top of the desk, so a lot of my AC adapters and the power cord for the monitor are up on the desk, and they're all kind of tucked behind the monitor, so it wouldn't work.
No. You don't have to do all that. You do not have to do all that.
How are you
going to
take a picture of the wall?
Yeah, just get closer and take a picture of the wall. That's all you got to do.
When I take a picture, I have to move the monitor to take a picture of the wall.
I'll point you to a how-to, and we'll talk about that off there. Anyway, if you go look, what's cool is that I added it to the Flickr pool, where a bunch of people have been doing this, and there's one where it's one of the IMAX that looks like the lamp, you know, the lamp type. I think you got one, don't you?
Yeah, the moon rectangle stick.
Yeah.
G4.
Well, if you go look, and I think it's from Apocalypse is the username on Flickr. look in there. They got the, it looks clear, like a window. It's perfectly transparent. And you know the chrome mount that the monitor's on?
Yeah.
They've actually worked and put that in there, so it looks like you're seeing through. You see that.
Oh, my goodness. That is pretty cool.
It is awesome.
All right, so. Now that's a challenge I'm going to have to take up.
Okay.
All right, let's...
There's a couple of good ones. There's a couple other good ones in there. It looks like a guy's pulling a glass of water out of the screen.
Before
we move along, something else I just come up with, and I'm gonna put this in the show notes. This is from Google, and apparently this is at Google because I see a bunch of stuff that we saw in those pictures we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this monitor. It's a big flat screen monitor. They got a picture of the Earth, and it's rotating, and it looks like lights emitting from it, like it's about to explode or something. You know. Like it out of a movie or something.
Yeah.
But all the lights that are coming out are actually Google search queries. So it's like a real-time status of, you know, see who's where people are using Google.
Oh, my gosh.
It looks cool. There's like two pictures. And it took me a minute to figure out. And it says that Africa's mostly dark because there's only a few computers with, or there's only a few, there's fewer computers right. with fewer internet access. But other places it's like, looks like lights just coming off the Earth. It's really neat. So, anyway.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yep.
Do you see it?
No, I don't see it, but I know what you're talking about now. It's kind of like when you see the lights of the cities on the Earth.
Here, I just sent you a link. You can go look at it.
Okay. I'll take a look at that in just a sec while we play this.
Not many people know what it's like in the trenches. Just the few, the brave, the system administrators and IT professionals. Now, there's a podcast just for you and the battles you face every day.
Come on, boys, keep that network up.
Sarge, we need better technology now.
Incoming user complaints!
Strengthen that security on the double.
We're crashing! Game over, man!
Listen to In the Trenches with Kevin Devon and George Starcher at kevindevon.com. War is hell. Learn the best ways to survive.
Order the low-fat triple mocha latte.
In the Trenches.
The low-fat triple mocha latte. Technorama's Google video of the day is...
Ba-dum-ba-dum. Batman beating up a shark.
I saw this on TV. I did too. It was bad then. It's even worse on the computer.
Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, isn't that like the Batman movie? Didn't they have like a, you know, it was like a 2-hour TV movie or something like that?
Oh.
And
Robin's, you know, in the helicopter.
What for whatever freaking reason, Batman goes down on the ladder on the helicopter over the ocean. It's like they flew out there just to do some TV stuff.
He gets lowered into the water, and he comes up with a shark attached to his leg, and he starts beating on this thing with one fist. Robin opens up the helicopter, and he just happens to have these different oceanic repellents. One is for whales, and I didn't even see what the other two were for out of the four cans.
You know what's funny? He looks like he's in a hurry to grab it, but then when they show the close-up, his hand just slowly reaches over and grabs it.
Grabs the shark one. And then he climbs on the ladder. I'll let you watch it. It's just really cheesy in the classic old original 1960s Batman style. And you look at it.
I love that stuff.
I can't believe it. And it's clearly, you know, this awful rubber shark. But we won't spoil if the shark spray really works or not.
And, you know, dumbass Robin couldn't even go all the way down. He had to do the acrobat thing and stick his legs through the...
Yeah, about a rung and a half too short.
Like, let me stop here.
Oh, that was really cheesy.
I was waiting for him to drop the oceanic spray and hit the shark in the head with it instead of actually spraying it.
We also found a link to the Computer History Museum. If you do a Flickr tag search on the Computer History Museum, or you look at the link we've got in the show notes, there are, about 1,100 pictures in there?
There's a lot. And looking at some of these, man, I was just like, I so want to go there. And like I make a pilgrimage or something.
There's a lot of equipment in there that I recognized. A lot of it didn't. I liked seeing the software box of Print Shop and Zork 1. And then they've got old Krays and Burroughs and Lots of old computers. There was some other seminar, so there are a lot of pictures of people in there that I just didn't recognize.
I think the seminar was, if you look at the, in the show notes, there's a link right below the Flickr thing. This is where I found it at. This guy had an article about, he went to see their visual storage, or I'm sorry, yeah, visible storage exhibit, and they were doing something special, and he had some pictures, and when I linked to that, I went, oh, here's the whole Flickr pool with the Computer History Museum tags, and just some of that stuff is just mind-blowing. I mean, it looks so archaic, but so cool at the same time that, you know.
They've got some pretty big hardware that's, you know, got the railings and things around it, lots of signs.
Here's an Enigma, one of the Enigma machines.
Yep, saw that. They've got a good Newton display.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Cool stuff. If I am out that way, I do want to go see it.
Oh, yeah. Today we can't just...
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. Geek Thoughts.
If at first you do not succeed, blame your computer.
All right, final comments before we get out of here?
Yes, Chuck.
Sorry, I was a little quick on the mute button.
I was trying to say that too bad we can't make a little side trip when we go out to Ontario. But I don't know, it might be a little too out of the way. It's up in Mountain View. It's like Northern California, big time.
I thought so, because the pictures they had outside, the trees didn't have any leaves on them.
Let's see, we're closer to Mexico than Northern Canada, so no. I've made that ride from from the Bakersfield, L.A. type area all the way to San Francisco. That's a long ride. Long, boring ride.
It's when you realize how long California really is.
Oh, man, it's huge. I'm telling you, that was a long... It's one of those trips you go, and then you see the mountains coming, and they're still coming. They're coming, and then you finally pass, and there's more. And then you pass, I think it's Harris Ranch, where they have cows, and people fly in for fresh meat to eat steaks and fly out. Then you see the windmills, and big deal.
It's like when you're driving through Colorado. Like, hey, see the mountains, we're almost there! The mountains, we're almost there! The mountains, we're almost there!
Yeah, you know, I rode through the Mojave going to Las Vegas one time. I drove, and which I thought was really cool. Kim was like, you can take a hopper flight, or you can rent a car. I was like, I'll rent a car. So I went, and I got some pictures of like a couple of jets sticking out of a some junkyard or something like that, and I passed by Edwards Air Force Base, which I thought was awesome to see that kind of thing. Anyway, so.
Alrighty.
That's where I saw more mountains coming and coming. If, like an hour later, oh, I'm in the mountains now.
Should we take them out? I mean, yeah. I mean, take them out of the show.
Every one of them.
Do that thing you do so well.
Here we go. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at ChuckChow.com or send all your comments at ChuckChow@gmail.com or email me at Craig, S-K-R-E-G, at ChuckChow.com and visit the website at ChuckChow.com for our forums. I'm getting a head rush. We're also a member of Friends in Tech.
Did you get all that in there? Form, swag, so. Webcam, mail list, links, show notes, and more.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm going to go slow now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being in the chat room, everybody. We got a couple more people. Short Man and Norbert joined up since the show started.
Hey, one more shout out.
One binary five high.
101, y'all.
So long, Don. We're gonna miss you.